Okay, most good nerve. Shabbos. Today's daf is Yuma daf Pei Beis. Today's shir is Lili Nishmas, David Zelka, Reb Tzvi Zev, my uncle who was Nifter 21 years ago today. My Bechor is named for him as well. So, v'schus, our learning, right? The Neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay, so we're on Pei Aleph from the Beis here by the two dots smack in the middle of the Amud, by the top two dots, right? Achal Ochlin She'enan Ruyin La'achila. If a person ate food that's not actually food that's not normally consumed, so that is your potter, that is not considered eating on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara gives a couple examples. Amar Rava says, Kas Pilpili B'Yom Kippuri Potter. If a person chews, we said Kas is a lotion of eating that's not the normal eating. So if a person eats these peppers, meaning, and again, we're talking about, like, let's say, ready, hot, spicy peppers, pepper as we know it in the spices sense, not the pepper as in, like, the vegetable sense. So these peppers, if you eat them, so no, that's not normally eaten, so you are potter. Kas zangbila is ginger, B'Yom Kippuri, potter as well, you're potter as well, because nobody eats that raw, right? That's only spices. Maybe, hold on 1 second, I'll ask you a question. The pasuk says varaltem or laso es perio. Right, you should, the first 3 years of a person of a fruit's life, the fruit is aser. That's the halacha of orla. Right, so the pasuk says varaltem or laso es perio. Just to get the whole pasuk here because it's important. Right, okay, right. V'chisavo el haaretz unitatem kol eitz ma'achal. Right, you plant any fruit tree that gives food. Right, so any yodea she'eats ma'achalhu. Obviously, we're talking about a fruit tree. You don't have to tell me that the tree is a fruit tree. Obviously, if you're talking about fruit, the whole iser is fruit. So you have to tell me that it's eats ma'achal, that it's a tree that gives fruit. So eats ma'achal. So why does the pasuk say eats ma'achal? It's eats she'tam eitzo u'perio shaveh. It's a fruit. It's a tree that the flavor of its tree, of the actual tree, as we'll see, like the plant itself and its fruit are the same. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Avi Omer zeh pilpilin. And that, what is that referring to? Right, it's not talking about an apple tree. It's talking about spices, right? These types of, let's say, a pepper that we talked about before. The lamdu hashav pilpilin chayavim be'orla. Apparently, these types of peppers, these spices, are chayiv in orla, and so why then would you be putter for eating it in Yom Kippur? Meaning, if it's considered a fruit, and this type of pepper is considered a fruit for orla purposes, it should be considered a food for Yom Kippur purposes. And also this pasuk teaches me in Eretz Yisrael chasra klum, because that Eretz Yisrael Baruch Hashem is not missing anything. Shenamar, those steps are kol ba, right? There's nothing missing right in Eretz Yisrael. That's not necessarily relevant to Orla, but again, but the point is that even the trees in Eretz Yisrael taste like something, right? Even you have these spices that are grown in Eretz Yisrael as well. Okay, but that's not relevant for our discussion. But the Maisa Taklas, where you see that the raw pepper, right, that's chayav in Orla, and so apparently that should be eating on Yom Kippur. No, the question is whether they are fresh or not, right? If they're dried out, so then nobody eats that. That's only spices. If they're fresh, if they're actually, literally, ritivusa means wet, but if they're fresh, so then sometimes people will eat that, and then they're chayv in Orla. And if you ate it on Yom Kippur, Yutaka would be chayv. Okay. Amalei Ravina lemareimar. Ravina said to Mareimar, v'ha'amar Rav Nachman. Didn't Rav Nachman say, Hi himlasa? What's himlasa? Rashi says shemifatmim bisamim ktushim bidvash. You have spices that are ground up in honey. Okay. The asi mibe hindui. I don't even know how to spell it. Hindui or something like that, right? If Rashi says over here, it's Kush. It's another name for Kush. Kush nowadays is Ethiopia. Unclear whether that's when the Gemara talks about Kush. Right, it talks about Kush a lot, right? It talks about Tziporo, Isha Kushis, right? And the Chumash already, right? We mentioned Kush a lot. Unclear if it's the Kush of nowadays. I mean, it could be that it's talking about India. Okay, either way, or some other area, right? Okay, either way. But you have this spices ground up in honey, umuvarchan alei bar pri adama, and you make a adama on it. Meaning the pashas is that again, the same idea that we said before, right, that these spices, or maybe the ginger that we said before, it seems to be, so if you're going to make a adam on something, that means it's the normal way of eating this vegetable. If you make a shahakal, for example, if you eat raw onions, So you make a shahako. Isn't an onion a vegetable? No, because nobody does that, and it's a weird way to eat stuff. So if you tell me that you're making a hadama on something, that seems to imply that it's an actual food. That's how you normally eat it. And why shouldn't you be chayav for the eating that types of stuff in Yom Kippur? Someone says, "Lokasha, how about you rivas? How be a vegetable?" Right? Gives the same answer. Right? Depends whether the vegetable in question, the ginger, the spices, the pepper, are fresh or not. Right? Nobody actually eats it when they are raw, or when they are dried out. Right? Because that's only use as spices, and that would not be considered an actual eating. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan and Rabbeisa. Achal alei kanim. If a person eats leaves of kanim is reeds. So if you eat leaves of reeds, okay, potter, that's not, nobody eats that. Lulave gefanim, however, but if you eat grapevines, zayin chayiv. Then apparently people did eat that. Like, again, I don't know, like seaweed type of stuff, right? Okay, these people apparently did eat grapevines. So the Gemara says, Elohim lulave gefanim. These are lulave gefanim, meaning the ones that you're chayiv for. Apparently there were a bunch of different ones. Am Rabbi Yitzchak mi Gadla, Rabbi Yitzchak from Gadla said, Kol shaliv lavo meresh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippur. Right, the only one, there are different ones, but it depends on what stage of the grapevine, right, is in existence. Meaning, if it's fresh or not, like we've just been saying, like if it's quote unquote wet, right, if it's fresh or not. When is it fresh? So Rabbi Yitzchak Migadla says, if it grew from Yashar Yom Kippur, then it's still fresh. But after that, already after those 10 days, so then it is no longer fresh. Rav Kahana says, no, Kol Shel Shem Yom, actually for 30 days it's still fresh, and right after that, that would be considered dried out, and then it wouldn't be chayv. Tani Kavasi Rav Yitzchak Min Gadla, sure enough, we learned like Rav Yitzchak, Achal Ali Kanim Pater, V'Lulave Gefanim Chayv, right, like we said, you're chayv for these Lulave Gefanim, Elohim Lulave Gefanim, what is that? Kol Shel Lavlavo, Min Rosh Hashanah, Ad Yom Kippur, right, so he says, this Brisa says, Beferish, like Rav Yitzchak Min Gadla, that they're fresh for 10 days and not longer. Okay, Shasat Sir or Murius, the Mishnah had said if you drank fish brine or this kind of fish gel or whatever, this fish goo, then you are pater, implying the implication is Chometz Chayev. Apparently, Chometz is more legit than this fish brine type stuff. So the Gemara says, Mashnisa money, who's our Mishnah? Rabbi, it's Rabbi's sheet of the Tanya, Rabbi Omer Chometz Meshavis Anefesh. Rabbi says that drinking vinegar makes a person satiate, not satiates a person, but it makes a person feel better, right? It alleviates his hunger pangs, therefore it is usher to drink on Yom Kippur. Darash of Gidol Bar Menashe, Mibiri. Biri Dinerish, Rav Gidol Bar Menashe from Biri Dinerish, right, apparently that's a town, he darshaned in Alaka Garebi, right, the Alaka is not like Rebbe. Lashana, the next year, Nafke Kule Alma, Muzgu Vishasu, meaning Rebbe had said that vinegar is considered to be a food, and then we paskined, Rav Gidol paskined against him, saying that vinegar does not actually make a person feel better. So the next year, Lashana, the next year, Nafke Kule Alma, everybody went out, Muzgu Vishasu, they diluted the vinegar, and they drank it in Yom Kippur, because that's not drinking, and that's not food. So Chala, Vishasu Chala, and they drank it together. So Shamar of Gidol, the Ikpid of Gidol, heard it and got very upset. Again, like a real story about how people took a psak and twisted it to their own, it must be this, therefore they twisted it to their own desires. So Amar, he said, Imar da Amri Ana Dievet. Right, when I was saying that we don't pass like Rebbe, well, that's only Bidievet. Right, I mean, after the fact, meaning well, you're not chayiv for drinking it on Yom Kippur. We're not going to be chayiv, you know, either a korban if you did a bishogeg, or if you did a bishogeg, or if you did a bemezid, right? Or, you know, it's no chayiv. Okay, anyway, vayter, meaning you're not going to be chayiv if you did it after the fact. But lechachila miyami, I didn't say that you can go straight away and drink it lechachila. And Amar, I also said Amri anapurta. Meaning I also only said. When it's purta, when it's a little bit, right? When you have just a tiny bit, but tula, if you're drinking a lot, right? If you're pounding vinegar, so the tachlis is, right? That would be a problem. Miamri, metuva miamri, can you drink more than that? Right? Imar, I also said the amri ana chai. I also only said if you drink straight vinegar. Mazug mi'imar, I didn't say that you could drink it if you dilute it. If you dilute it with water, then it's obviously much more drinkable. Right? So basically, just a story. You know, you have to be careful, Rebbe. You read a psak, that's why, you know, a lot of Rebbeim are careful to publish Shalash and Tshuvas. If I'm not mistaken, the Shalash and Tshuvas were Moshe. Oh, I'm not sure, actually, if they came out after he passed away or not. I think some came out before, maybe. Okay, I actually shouldn't say that. But a lot of Rebbeim are you know, hesitant to publish Shalash and Tshuvas, because very often, or they could take it out of context or twist it into, you know, into something that they didn't really mean to say. Okay, weiter. New Mishnah Pei Beisim and Aleph. Hatinakos Emes Anano Son Biyom Kippur Av Mechanchin Oso Lefnei Shana Av Lefnei Shana Time. I might as well finish the entire Mishnah. Bishvil Sheyehu Regilin Lemitzos. Obviously for kids, right, they do not have a mitzvah of Inui to afflict themselves in Yom Kippur, but there is a mitzvah of Chinuch. So the Mishnah says 1 or 2 years beforehand, right, in order so that they should be ready to fulfill the mitzvah. So now, so very important to point out that a couple of things. First of all, when the Mishnah says a year or two, so it means a year or two before there's a chiyuv d'oraisa the year before. As we're going to see in a second, there's a chiyuv d'oraisa for kids who are approaching their bar mitzvah, right, to fast a year before they become bar mitzvah, right, to kind of prep themselves. So when we say a year or two beforehand, so that means really 2 or 3 years before their bar and bas mitzvah. Okay? So that's A. B, again, this whole concept of chinuch, if you look at Rashi, mechanchin osan l'shos, that we accustom them to, that we train them to fasting, a couple of hours. Right, as to the point where they get if they usually eat breakfast at 9, the Gemara is going to say maybe they'll eat at 10, or maybe they'll skip breakfast altogether or go to 12. Again, the whole concept of chinuch, right, is two ways to understand the mitzvah of chinuch, and honestly both of them are really relevant sometimes. Is that first of all, there's a concept to be mechanech a kid because you can't go from 0 to 100. Right, you're telling me that the kid's going to eat cheeseburgers until they're 13, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's going to flip a switch. Obviously not. That doesn't work. So the concept of chinuch is to get them ready for when they're a bar chiyuva. Another way to understand chinuch is that they could fulfill the mitzvah b'toras shevelt in a mitzvah b'viyose. Just like for some people are not chayiv in certain mitzvahs in certain scenarios. Let's say, for example, women are not chayiv in mitzvahs eshes mangrama, but it's still valuable for them to sit in the sukkah, shake lulav, etc. So kids are also not chayiv because they're not a bar mitzvah yet, but there is value in them doing this mitzvah, b'toras and a mitzvah v'yosei. Yes, people who do the mitzvah when they are commanded to get more schar, that the Gemara says, but nobody says that it's not valuable for them to do it when they're not commanded to do it. These mitzvahs are intrinsically valuable, usually. So that's just to give a point about chinuch. Okay, so again, this Mishnah also says we want to be mechanech, then we want to train kids, right, so that they're used to doing the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, 1 second. You don't need to teach me. If you're telling me that we start training them 2 years before, i.e. 2 years before, a year before, so it's really 3 years before, but we'll just use the language of the Gemara. If you're telling me you're training him 2 years before, obviously you're training him 1 year before. So Rav Chisda explains, lo kasha habachol lo habibari. No, it depends. If the kid is healthy, so then, okay, start him 2 years early, 3 years early. But if he's not healthy, so then you're going to wait until the last point, right, the last possible time, and then you're going to start training him only a year before. Because he can't handle it, right? Chanoch lanar, al pidarko, right? Make sure you educate kids and train kids according to what they can handle, right? So that's, right, physically, it's also a thing. Okay. Amar Ravuna, Ravuna says, okay, Amar Ravuna, ben ches, o ben tes, mechanchen oso l'shos. Right? If a kid is 8 or 9 years old, so then you start training them with hours, right? Again, you extend their, let's say, push off breakfast a little bit. Ben Yud Aleph, already if they're 10 or 11 years old, so then, again, we'll explain why there's a discrepancy in ages, right? So then Mishalmin, Mashlimin Midrabanan, then we encourage them to finish the fast Midrabanan. Ben Yud Beis, but if a boy who's 12 years old, so then Mashlimin Midaraisa, right? Then already, we make, right, again, like I pointed out before, that it did the Raisa, that a year before, right, you should already finish the fast, and that's, right, and that's the concept of chinuch. Right, bitinokos, by a girl, so then Rav Nachman says, meaning bitinokos, meaning, and this is also true of a girl. Rav Nachman says, ben tes mi ben yud mechanechon sola shows, that a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old is mechanech, right? We start, kind of pushing them off. Breakfast is delayed by a couple of hours. Ben Yud Aleph, Ben Yud Beis, Mashlim Midrabanan. And 11-year-old and a 12-year-old, we finish the fast Midrabanan. And Ben Yud Gimel, Mashlim Midrabanan. And then that's Ben Yud Gimel, Right, a 13-year-old finishes midaraisa. That's bitinok. That's by a boy. Now again, it's not machlokas, as Rashi explains. Right, the first case Rav Huna was talking about girls, Rav Nachman was talking about boys. Okay, that's not a machlokas. Rav Yochanan says no. Hashlama midarabanan leka. Right, he has no midarabanan. Meaning, there's no stage of midarabanan finishing the fast according to Rav Yochanan, and therefore Ben Eser Ben Achadisrei. If he's 10 or 11, then we kind of train him to fast a couple hours. And Ben Shtemesrei Meshlim Midarais, and a 12-year-old, right? You jump 12-year, he skips a year, right? Meaning he just starts the chinuch a year later. A 12-year-old already finishes Midarais. Okay. So again, just to clarify, when we said 8 or 9 and 10 or 11, right, as we said, as Rav Chisda explained our Mishnah, right, depending on whether the kid is sick or healthy, right? We start either, 2 years before, which is really 3 years before, right? That for a bas mitzvah, so that's when they're already, finished 8 years of life, right? And so that's 3 years before. In terms of a bar mitzvah for a boy, so that's where Rav Nachman starts at 9 or 10, and that's where Rav Huna starts at 8 or 9. Okay. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says, 1 second. Hold on. What about our Mishnah? Right? It's not. We learned that the Mishnah. We don't let the kids fast on Yom Kippur. Well, I really should say shnatayim, but okay. But we start training them, we mechanic them, right, a year before and 2 years before. So Bishlam al Rav Huna Rav Nachman. This Mishnah, you can understand this Mishnah according to Rav Huna Rav Nachman. Lefnei shana lefnei shtayim. How do you understand that phrase? 1 year before and 2 years before. Lefnei shana ledivrayim, lefnei shtayim ledivrei Torah. You start training a kid who is sick, so a year before he has to fast midrabanan, and 2 years before he has to fast midaraisa, meaning if he's going to turn a bar mitzvah at 13, so we start training him at 10, and that's 1 year before he has to fast midrabanan at 11, and 2 years before, it's really, well, 1 and 2, I take it back, meaning it's 1 year means 2 years, and 2 years means 3 years, is why it's confusing. So we start training him at 10 to fast part of the day, then at 11, he fasts midrabanan, and at 12 he fasts midaraisa to prepare him for being a gadol. Elder Rabbi Yochanan Kasha, but Rabbi Yochanan, how does he understand it? Because he doesn't hold of that extra year where you fast the entire day midrabanan. So what do you understand? 1 year and 2 years. Tamlachar Rabbi Yochanan, right? That's the answer you probably thought of. Right? Ema, you should just say shana ushtayim samach lepirkan. It's 1 or 2 years. Before Pirkan means when they become a bar mitzvah. So it's 1 year before, he fasts the whole year, the year before he becomes a bar mitzvah, and you start training him 2 years before he becomes a bar mitzvah. So that Mishnah, the Mishnah means, you start training him at 11, right, and then he fasts the entire day at 12. Okay, Toshma, with another brisa. This is against Rav Huna Rav Nachman, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Tanit Bar Shmuel. A town of Rabbi Bar Shmuel, sorry. Tinokos, Amos, I don't know, some Yom Kippurim, Avamachalkanosam, Shana, Ushtaim, Samach Lapirkan. We train them 1 or 2 years before they become bar mitzvah, meaning from, let's say, they take a boy, right, from ages 11 or 12. So Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan Nika, that works according to Rabbi Yochanan, because that's a year before, again, he fasts the whole day when he's 12. And 2 years before, right, for when he's 11, right, you start training him. Or if someone is sick, if the kid is not so healthy, then he starts fasting a year before, and then if he's healthy, he fasts 2 years before. Elo Rav Huna Rav Nachman Kasha, but how does that work under Rav Huna Rav Nachman? Because they hold that according, even for a kid who's sick, they start 3 years before. Like I said, they start at 10 before the bar mitzvah. So how does that work? 3 years before the bar mitzvah. So how does that work? So I'm in the Rabbanan, Rav Huna Rav Nachman would say to you, so my chinuch nami degatani hashlama. What are we talking about here? We're talking about finishing. Right, according to both Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, right, you finish the fast both 1 and 2 years before a kid turns bar mitzvah, right? At age 11 is midarabanan, age 12 is midaraisa. So that's what that Bryce is talking about. The Gemara says, my kari l'chinuch hashlama, but really training, right, be mechanichim means finishing the fast. V'atani, with another Bryce, he's a chinuch, what do you mean when you're talking about training, what by mechanichim? Hayroga lechol b'shtei shos, machilin usol l'sholosh. If he was used to eating 2 hours into the day, let's say if the day starts at 6 o'clock, so he's used to eating breakfast at 8, so you give him breakfast at 9. B'sholosh, if he's used to eating breakfast at 9, machilin usol b'arba, you give him breakfast at 10. Again, the numbers are also confusing, but we're talking about 2 and 3 and 4 hours, that's into the day. So if the day starts at 6, so then 3 is 9 and 4 is 10. Anyway, so the question is, what do you mean chinuch? How could you interpret the brisa talking about chinuch as finishing the fast? Right, chinuch, this brisa says very clearly, is just pushing him off, right? Pushing breakfast off a couple hours. Right? Okay, as you probably imagine, the answer is, yeah, there are different types of chinuch. Right, that one chinuch is right simply delaying breakfast, and another chinuch is actually teaching him to finish the entire fast. Okay, new Mishnah. Ubra sheiricha machil unusa achatashiv nafsha. This is going to be the sugya of Yehari Vel Yavor. We're going to talk about the big three, being machal yom kippur, right, giving a person to eat if it's a pikuach nefesh situation. That's already where the Mishnah starts with the pikuach nefesh, and we move on to Yehari Vel Yavor. Okay, either way. So the Mishnah says, Ubra sheiricha, a woman who is pregnant, she smells and craves food. And Rashi explains, right, how ubar, it's mariach reach, tavshil, somehow it's the fetus who desires and smells the flavor, v'hu mit avalo, and he wants it, or the fetus wants it, v'im eno ochala es shnei mesukanim, and apparently the medicine was as such, but back then, obviously giving birth, still obviously very perilous, but back then certainly giving birth was more perilous than it is nowadays. So apparently the medicine dictated that if the woman did not eat anything, so the fetus and the woman were in danger. So if a woman smells this stuff, the food, machilunusa achatashiv nafsha, you feed her until she feels better. Until she feels better and says, okay. Chole, but if a person is sick, so then machilunusa apibikiyim, then you only feed him based on the opinion of a bucky, a doctor knows who's talking about, and if you don't have a bucky, a doctor professional, right, you let him dictate until he says that he has had enough. If you have a woman who is pregnant that she smells, again, we mentioned this before, smells the flavor of kachim, again, that was perhaps very common in Yerushalayim, or she smells the meat of pig's meat, obviously less common in Yerushalayim, but either way, those are both examples of things she's not allowed to eat. Right? Let's say she's not a kohen, so that's stuff she's not allowed to eat. She smells something that is osur. So tochvin la kush barotev, you dip a spoon in the sauce. Umenichin la pia, right, give her a little bit of so, right, put it on her mouth, right, just to see if that helps. Right, if the smell from the sauce, right, helps her, you know, alleviate her desire for this food. In this yash v'daita mutav, right? If she feels better, great. Vim lav, but if not, machilin usa rotev atzma. You actually give her the sauce to eat. Vim this yash v'daita mutav. If she feels better, then great. Vim lav, but if not, machilin usa shuman atzma. You can even give her the fattiest part of this usher food. Because there's nothing that stands before a threat to a person's life, right? Except for the big three. And the Gemara now will darshan out. How do you know the big three? So that comes before, right, a person's life. So avodah zarah minalan. How do you know a person should rather die before he worships avodah zarah? The Tanya Hakolim, the Brisa, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Im Nemar b'chol nafshecha. Right, pasuk you're familiar with, right? After as Hashem, after as Hashem alkacha b'chol nafshecha b'chol nafshecha b'chol miyodecha. So it says b'chol nafshecha. So right, with your entire soul, you have to love Hashem with all of your soul. So lama nemar b'chol miyodecha. Why does he say you have to love Hashem with all your money? If Im Nemar b'chol miyodecha, and if he says why do you have to love Hashem with all your money? Lama nemar b'chol nafshecha. Right, why do you need both of them? So the Gemara says, if a person values his life more than his money, so therefore the Kach Nemar B'chol Nafshecha. Then the Torah is telling you to the extent at which you have to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even give your life, or give your entire life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if, Rachman al-Tzlan, God forbid, I would imagine a person, that type of person, is miserable. But there are such people who value their money more than their lives. So if that's the case, you have to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your money. So that's how we know avodah zarah. A person's not allowed to worship avodah zarah. Right? You have to with everything that you have. Right? Again, v'afta as Hashem lokecha. The pshat is you should love Hashem. You should not serve other idols. And that's again. That's that pasuk. That means you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the thing you have to sacrifice as much as you can. Right? As opposed to worshiping a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? You have to give up either your life or your money, right, to make sure that you only worship a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? V'yavta es Hashem alokecha, right? Not anything else. Gilu yarayas shfichas damim minalan. How do you know illicit relationships and murder? How do you know? That's also Yehari Vel Yavor. T'tanya v'lan din abrayitzer. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, ki kasher yakum ish al reyehu u'tzachon nefesh kema davar azeh. Pasuk talks about, and I really need the beginning of the Pasuk as well. Pasuk says, "V'lanara lo sase davar, ein lanara chait mavis." What does that mean? So we're talking again. We were mentioned yesterday. Anara amurasa, for a girl who is engaged and she is attacked, assaulted physically, and threatening to be raped. If she is raped, and so then she has no sin. That's the pasuk says. Lanara lo sase davar. Don't do anything to the girl, right? Even though she's a married woman. Kain lanara chait mavas. She does not obviously have a sin to be put to death here. Ki kasher yakum ish al rehu urzecho nefesh kena davar hazeh. And the pasuk says it's just like murder. So Gemara wants to know, what is the comparison from murder to the rape of a engaged, right, married woman? Right? It teaches us something and we learn something as well. Just like you're allowed to save someone, you're allowed to kill someone who is trying to rape someone else, to rape a woman, so too, you're allowed to kill someone who's trying to murder someone. So umar tzeach yarig vel yaver, and just like murder is yarig vel yaver, you're not allowed to violate it, or you must give up your life. If someone says, "Kill this person, or I'll kill you," so af namarasa yarig vel yaver. So too, by namarasa, by illicit relationships, a person also needs to give up their life. So Gemara says, "Rotzeach guf minale." So how do you know that a murderer, right? How do we know that a murderer has to give up his life, right? As opposed to murder someone else, right? You have to take the bullet. So this minale svarahi, because it's a svara, it's logic. Dehu de'asa lekamei derava. The rabba probably should be rabba. Right. Someone came in front of Rabba. Amarle, and he said to him, Amarli Mari Doroi Katla Lapalnia Vilo Katlin Lacha. Right, the master of my town, I guess the mayor or whatever, said to me, "Kill this guy, kill Aploni, right? Kill that guy, or I'm gonna kill you." So what do I do? What do I say? So Amarle, Nik Telcha Velo Tekto. You yourself should be killed and you should not go and kill the other guy. Right? What did you see? How do you know that your blood is redder? Maybe the other guy's blood is redder. So you can't decide, you don't know which life is more valuable to preserve in this equation. And Kosh Baruch Hu is the only judge of that. So once you don't know what to do, so then shave. There are a lot of, as you can see, big long toasts over here, a lot of things going on with this sugya, but pashtus is shevi al tase adif, that if a person is put in a position where he can either violate an isser or stand back and not actively violate the isser, so the person has to take the bullet and he's not allowed to kill. Just something humorous, because that's kind of a little sad. This is what we call an iceberg tosos. If you flip back to Pei Beis Amud Aleph, right, you see a little bit of tosos over there, right, tip of the iceberg, turn the page, foosh, you see all the stuff that Tosa is writing, right? Obviously, an iceberg is like a little bit on top and a lot underneath. Okay, either way, that's how we know that a person, it's a logical svara, that a person is not allowed to murder if his life is at stake, and he must take the bullet instead of actually physically killing someone else. Okay, let's just finish. Let's go to two dots on Amud Aleph here. Now, the Gemara goes back to the case where, of a woman who is koch nefesh, a woman who is pregnant and smelling something. Ahi ubra de archa. Again, a woman who smelled food, right, and wanted to eat it on Yom Kippur. Also, the kamei de Rabbi, they went to Rabbi and amarlu zilu lachashulei diomik de kipurihu. Right, go whisper to her that it's Yom Kippur. And sometimes, right, all you need is kind of like a reminder. Right? I had Shaila on the fast a couple of days ago. Someone called me, or nowadays it's not a phone call, it's a voice note on WhatsApp. But either way, they asked me, like, oh, I'm having a tough time with the fast, and what scenario can I break it? So very often, all you need is a reminder of how important it is to fast. And sure enough, I kind of like encouraged them to suck it up if they could. Obviously, if you start feeling lightheaded or sick, so okay, then for sure you should break it, but encourage them to suck it up, and sure enough, they told me afterwards that they were able to complete the fast. So again, Rebbe said that, and he said, listen, just kind of remind her, by the way, it's Yom Kippur, see if you can suck it up. So lachashula, so sure enough, they whispered it to her, the ilchisha, and her, it literally means it became weaker, lachush, meaning she heard the whisper, right? Rashi says kibla es halachisha shapasak haubar mitavaso, meaning she accepted what she had heard, been told, and the craving kind of like subsided. So Kari Allah, so Aleha, Rebbe said about her, this pasuk b'terem etzer chavi b'tan yidiatcha. Before I put you in the womb, right? I knew you. I knew what you were. As so often as we had an Amud Aleph, right? The important part of the pasuk is at the end. Uv'terem titem rechamach merechem hik dashticha. And before you even came out of the womb, I made you holy. Meaning that the fetus pashas, right, was a holy fetus, a holy person, right, even before it came out. And sure enough, says the Gemara, Nafik Minei Rabbi Yochanan, that was Rabbi Yochanan. So that was Rabbi Yochanan who came out of, right, that was in his mother's womb. Ahiru Ubra, another story, not such as nice of a story, but Ahiru Ubra the Archa, again, same idea, the pregnant woman had this taiva for eating. But she smelled something she really wanted to eat. Also, the commander Rabbi Chanina. I went to Rabbi Chanina. Amar Lulach Shulah. He said, "Go whispered her that's Yom Kippur." Falol Chisha. So she didn't accept, right, that Musar. So Kari Alea, or not Musar, but that information. Right, Kari Alea Zuru Rishayim Rechem. Sure enough, they said the pasuk of the Rishayim. There are Rishayim in the Rechem in the womb, and Nafak Mina Shabsai Atzar Peri, and that child was Shabsai. Who was known as an Atzar Peri. Fascinating, says Rashi, if you look at Lafkia Sharim, which means he knew how to manipulate the market. And he used to buy produce and drive up prices. Obviously not an okay thing. But right, he wasn't the upstanding guy that certainly wasn't the upstanding guy that Rabbi Yochanan was. Okay, Shkoyach Kol Rabosa, we'll go weiter in the Heilige Shas tomorrow. Have a great Shabbos, and look forward next week to finishing up the Masechta with you. Have a great one.